Several Republican lawmakers have called for Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius to resign over online problems of healthcare.gov. We will talk about the problems. We will talk about the politics of healthcare this hour. And we'll talk about what Sebelius will likely say when she appears before a congressional panel tomorrow to explain why the healthcare.gov website has been plagued with problems and what's being done about it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 29th. We will talk with a political analyst who actually worked under Kathleen Sebelius when she was governor of Kansas, and we will welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What has been your reaction to the rocky rollout of healthcare.gov? Do you think that Secretary Kathleen Sebelius should lose her job over this? What do the politics of this policy mean for the future of this program and, for that matter, for the 2014 midterm elections? Our guest is Burdett Loomis. He is a professor of political science at the University of Kansas. He served for 1 year as director of administrative communications under former Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius and is also a UW-Madison graduate. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So you were quoted in some newspapers as saying that Secretary Kathleen Sebelius has a big problem on her hands because of the disastrous rollout of healthcare.gov. How big a problem is this?
Well, it's a very large problem. This clearly has not gone well. They were unprepared for it, and it's given her opponents, who really don't want the law to go into effect at all, you know, a great opportunity to argue against the workability of the law. So, you know, short term, I think it's a big problem. If they do get things fixed, if by the end of November, if lots of people enroll, I think it will be seen in retrospect as a glitch, a big glitch, but just that.
Well, she's supposed to testify tomorrow before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. How much information do you think she's going to divulge?
That's a good question. I think that one of the big problems early on was that the Secretary and others, including President Obama, simply didn't admit the size and scope of the problem. When you've got a big issue like this, and after a day or two, it was a big issue. I don't think that they came across as providing as much information as they might. I think they've rectified that some over the last couple of weeks, but I think they're prepared to provide as much information as the legislators want. The question is, do the legislators really want information, or do they want to put on something of a show with the secretary?
Yeah. Well, certainly Sebelius is not an IT expert or website programmer. How much blame for these tech problems can Sebelius reasonably assume?
You know, I do think that she has a responsibility to understand if there are big problems coming down the line. She's certainly not going to be programmed the system, obviously. But I think that this came as such an apparent surprise. I'm not sure it was a real surprise to many people, but an apparent surprise that I think she does bear some serious responsibility for the way in which things were rolled out, the expectations, et cetera. It was clearly a hurried job. And so I think that as the you know, the chief officer there, she does. Now, whether that merits resignation, I personally don't think so. But you could see how it gets picked up for political fodder.
Yeah. Republican Congressman Daryl Issa of California on CBS's Face the Nation this Sunday said that the buck stops with her. Let's take a listen.
If she cannot reorganize to get the kind of a team in consistently to meet his agenda, then she shouldn't be there. And right now, when she says she didn't know, why didn't she know that the president's signature legislation was, in fact, in trouble?
So does he have a point?
Sure. Of course he has a point. That's a point that I just made. That yes, he does. He does have a point. At the same time, I do think that running a department as large as HHS, as complicated with so many layers, is something that she's done pretty well for more than 4 years. And so you're looking for resignation, things of that nature. I think you have to take the whole job performance into account. And there's one other major issue here, because politics lurks behind everything in this. And that is that she has a good relationship with President Obama, and I think it would be hard for Obama to fire her and then immediately find someone else to get confirmed. So there's a complexity here that goes beyond just the rollout of Obamacare.
Also on Face the Nation, Democratic Senator Jeanne Shaheen of New Hampshire, who was saying that it's too early to play the blame game. Let's take a listen.
There's going to be plenty of time to place blame on who was responsible for whether it should have worked on day one or didn't work or whatever. But right now, everybody's goal should be, let's get this working. Let's make sure that people can get the health care they want and need.
So what do you make of those remarks, that we should fix the problem before we start pointing fingers?
Well, it's a political back and forth. Certainly, the indications are that the problems are being worked on. You have a end of November deadline. And I think one of the really meaningful things here is that in various states that have implemented their own exchanges, and the best example may be Kentucky of all places, the exchanges have worked very well. And so I do think that the one problem was that not nearly enough states, including my own, embarked upon healthcare exchanges, and so the weight on the federal exchanges was far greater than anyone had anticipated.
We are talking with Burdett Loomis, professor of political science at the University of Kansas, and we are talking about the politics of the Affordable Care Act, and we're welcoming your questions and your reactions to the problems that we have seen so far with the rollout of the healthcare exchange websites. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is scheduled to testify tomorrow before a congressional panel about the problems facing that website. And she does this with dozens of Republican lawmakers calling for her resignation. What do you think? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 29th. We are talking with a professor of political science at the University of Kansas, Burdett Loomis, who served as the director of administrative communications under former Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius, talking with him about the problems facing the healthcare.gov website and how that might affect the job of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. And we're welcoming your questions and your reactions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our lines are full, so let's take some of your calls. Carl in Madison is first. Hello, Carl.
Yes, hello. I think that we have to make sure that we understand this is not an issue with the healthcare law. It's an issue with software. I'm somebody in Madison, Wisconsin, who was really voting for Barack Obama and the idea of single-payer health care insurance. And obviously, when that wouldn't get through, the question now becomes, can any get through? And if a law does get through, is there so much obstruction in the implementation of that law that any law will be unworkable?
Your reaction to that, Professor Loomis?
Yeah, I think that what Carl's suggesting is exactly right, or at least in the broader picture. This law, which no one thinks is perfect, and many think that there should have been a public option or preferably single payer, this law constitutes what could get through in 2010. And it's a complicated law. It relies on employer mandates, individual mandates, and so it's certainly not close to being perfect as it seeks universal care. That said, I think that what many analysts and political scientists have noted over the course of this law is this obstructionism, this attempt to defund the law, slow it down, what have you. And so in a sense, the implementation of the software is one more chapter in that fight. I don't think it's unimportant. I think it's a very important chapter, but it is one chapter. There's no question.
Thank you, Carl. Brett on Facebook says, none of the state exchanges have had problems. If all the Republican states had set up exchanges like they were supposed to, maybe the tech glitch could have been avoided. You mentioned Kansas did not set up its exchanges, and neither did Wisconsin. Could these problems have been avoided if all states did their own?
You know, I think we would get a mixed range. I can't say that all states have had uniform success, but by and large, the states have done much better. The scale is much smaller. But I'd look at Governor Walker from Wisconsin, Governor Brownback from Kansas, both thorough opponents of the law. And in Kansas, Governor Brownback first accepted $31 million to set up an exchange as a pilot project. It was worked out between Secretary Sebelius and our current insurance commissioner, who is a Republican. And then he turned back the money and decided not to do the exchange. I don't think there's any question with that kind of, we had a lead time and substantial resources and a population here of 2.7 million people. A very good exchange could have been set up without any question. So, again, a lot of this opposition doesn't come from Washington, but comes from the states, and particularly in red states, you have this almost visceral reaction to Obama and Obamacare and all that it allegedly stands for.
Sarah on Facebook writes, I was able to enroll over the phone this past weekend. I didn't even have to wait on hold at all. I got through to a real human being in under a minute. The phone enrollment process was obviously not as quick and convenient as the website should be, but I received great customer service, and I appreciate that they're making an effort to offer alternative methods for enrollment. I guess it should be noted that there are still people that are signing up without the website working.
Sure, and the website is working for some people. I've noticed some reports in the last couple of days of several fixes on parts of it. I think much of it was the slowness of it and the tremendous interest immediately. So I think as time goes on, you're going to have more people like Sarah being able to enroll. I think that's the story of almost all these innovations. Most recently, the Medicare D, which was passed in 2003, and you can see almost exactly the same kind of complaints in the first couple of months, with reversed, with Democrats complaining about it and Republicans saying, oh, just wait, it'll all work out. And, of course, it did.
Let's take Janice in La Crosse next. Hello, Janice.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Joy, and your guests. Thank you. Are we surprised? I mean, I think it's just a joke. I can't believe we got this big government telling us again what to do with the health care and everything else. And as Pelosi said, oh, just, you know, it's 2,700 pages. don't bother reading it. Just sign it. We'll figure it out later, right? I mean, of course, this thing is a fiasco. It's a total breakdown of the functionality of our government. They should go back to the states, send them all home, get rid of Obama, the whole bit, and start over, private industry, smaller, better. Thank you.
Well, Professor Loomis, what about that?
Honestly, this bill is not this huge governmental takeover. There are a lot of regulations, but it relies on private health care. Insurance companies are the major part of this law, and so in the American system, there is this combination of public funding, but also the private delivery of health care. In essence, the Obamacare, affordable health care, doesn't change that very much. Now, I would say I'll just draw the implication from her complaint, and that is, we spend an immense amount of money on health care. We're up to about 17% of our GDP, far more than any other country in the world. Even governmental spending is about 10%, which is more than just a couple. So we do have this huge healthcare infrastructure, private and public, that has been created over the years. And Obamacare does nothing right now to attack that. And so I do think that overall is a problem. But in the end, Obamacare relies on our current healthcare system, which is run mostly in a private way and through insurance companies.
Yeah. Remind us, though, that these technical problems with the website have caused the administration to delay the enforcement of the individual mandate. Is that right?
That's right. And I think you may see some more delays, too. There's certainly some calls for that, although, again, the complexity of this means that if you start fooling around with one part, it may have an unintended consequence on some other parts. But I do think that there are a number of places in which Obamacare has been modified, and indeed, Kathleen Sebelius was required to make a number of decisions by the Congress. The Congress said, it's up to you and HHS to make these decisions, not just the technical decisions, but various policy decisions. And honestly, I think some of those policy decisions were delayed in part to defer more political opposition. And one might argue that had those policy decisions been made more quickly, the technical side would have been more firmly developed. But that's something that might come out in the testimony with Secretary Sebelius. My guess is it will come out in longish newspaper articles, maybe even books in years to come.
Now, the individual mandate enforcement was delayed about 6 weeks, not the year, 1 year, that the Republicans in Congress were asking for during the government shutdown showdown. Now they're saying, we asked for this year delay, and here we're delaying because of these problems. Why don't you just go along with the 1 year delay? Why doesn't the administration go along with a 1 year delay?
I'm not a health policy expert on this, but as I understand it, the individual mandate is crucial to the implementation of the overall program, and you really need to get particularly younger people enrolled in the system. That's central to this. And if there's a problem in the technical element here, that may be one of the policy problems that results, that young people simply won't enroll in adequate numbers, at least early on. And that's crucial to the overall success of the Affordable Health Care Act.
Then again, did Republicans really just want a 1 year delay in the individual mandate?
No, I mean, I think that if we are surprised by hypocrisy in politics, we probably all ought to go back to bed. Mm-hmm. But I think that some of the biggest crocodiles tears here are being shed by those who really don't want the program to work at all. And so they want a fix, but they want a fix for a program that they really do not want implemented, that they oppose and have opposed not only within the legislative process, but with what I would call serious, sustained, almost vicious obstructionism from the day that that program was passed.
Jim in Sockville. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Yeah, what's your point? Because we have just a minute before news. We'll pick up on your point after news, but I wanted to let you make it.
Okay. Well, my simple point is we've got a big hue and cry against Kathleen Sebelius because of a technical challenge when there are other options. I'm not hearing anything about getting the head of the NSA asked to resign or being fired.
All right.
And I'm curious about that.
All right. Thanks very much. We'll think about that through the newscast, and we'll talk more about your question and other questions that you might have about the politics regarding healthcare.gov for our guest, Burdette Loomis, professor of political science at the University of Kansas. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Should Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius resign over the problems with healthcare.gov? How big a problem are these website issues? How confident are you that they will be fixed by the end of November as the administration vows? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Tuesday, October 29th. We are talking about the politics regarding healthcare.gov with Burdette Loomis, professor of political science at the University of Kansas. He also served 1 year as director of administrative communications under former Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius, also happens to be a UW-Madison graduate. He will answer your questions and respond to your views if you call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, we heard from a caller just before news time who said, what's the big deal calling for the head of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius over this and not calling for the head of the NSA over spying? You just want to react to that, Professor Loomis?
Well, I mean, you've got huge bureaucracies in both cases. I do think that the health care affects individuals far more directly than the NSA does, or at least what we know about it. It may affect us. We just are completely in the dark. And the NSA issues have been existent, as we discover now, over a decade or more. So I think that although there are some real comparisons here, and I certainly think we ought to know lots more about NSA, there ought to be lots more accountability there. I really do think it's an apples and oranges kind of issue, particularly for a consumer of healthcare who is trying to enroll in the program.
We mentioned that you used to serve under then Governor Sebelius in 2005. What can you tell us about Sebelius and how she is handling or might handle this crisis?
Well, I mean, I think that Kathleen. I think her great strength is not to be the best policy person in the room or the best political person in the room, but her combination of political acumen and policy skill and dedication to good policy, that comes together in a very positive way. And I think that links her to Obama in many ways. And so I guess what has been surprising to me is that that both in terms of politics and policy, Secretary Sebelius has been less sure-footed on this issue than I've seen her on almost any other in the almost 20 years that I've known her, first as a state legislator, then as an insurance commissioner, so she has lots of experience in health care, and finally as governor. And I think the magnitude of this somewhat overwhelmed her, but she made the mistake of going on the Jon Stewart show, which was highly problematic, as it turned out. And so I do think that she has been somewhat less skillful here than I would have expected.
Yeah, and you also think that she truly knows the importance of this and the scope of how important this is, because she worked also with the insurance commissioner in Kansas.
She was the insurance commissioner. She was elected. It's an elective in Kansas. It's an elective position. She was elected insurance commissioner twice, and she had some very tough politics in a couple of ways. There was a proposal to privatize Blue Cross Blue Shield, have them bought out by a for-profit company, Anthem. She went through that and that process very skillfully, and eventually decided that that deal would not go through. And it was a good policy decision, and it helped her immensely in political terms as she ran for governor. And throughout her tenure as governor, one of the things that she did was to work consistently on health care issues to the extent that a governor could. And if she were governor today, I don't think there's any question that there would be a health care exchange, number one. And number two, she would have accepted the great increase in Medicaid funds for the state. So her commitment on the health care front is without question, and she's been historically very skillful.
Julie in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Julie.
Yes, hello. Hello, Joy. I was just thinking, in fact, before this phone call, I had different feelings, but after listening to your guest speak about the fact that she was an insurance commissioner, I was thinking maybe Ezekiel Emanuel is the one who designed this, obviously, and so forth. And in the bill, you could read in 2010, because if you're interested in your insurance, you could go back and you could read the bill on the Internet. And it said that 47 to 70%, or approximately that, would be losing their insurance policies because they would not meet the standards of everything that was required in the new bill. Well, if she was an insurance commissioner, she has to have known how important that statement is, that people will be expected, that they will lose their insurance. Okay, they keep saying now that it's because, well, but this is a better policy and it covers more. Well, okay, all of that's true, or could be true for many people, but every time President Obama stood before the American people saying, if you want to keep your insurance, you will be able to keep it, period. If you want to keep your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. Every time he said that, that was either ignorance or it was a lie. Now, if she's in charge of that and she serves her president, she should have said to him, Mr. President, please don't say that. This is what it says in here. People will lose it. Now, that went on for 3 years, and I know you keep saying it's the Republicans doing this. I don't care about Republicans, Democrat, or Independents. He did that for 3 years during an election period, and everybody believed him. And now it's coming back that this isn't true. So either Catherine Sebelius was totally ignorant of that, which she couldn't possibly have been, especially if she was an insurance commissioner. She has to know how important that is. Every time he said that, she had to know what that was doing to people. It was making them believe something that just wasn't true.
Yeah, Julie, thanks very much. It's certainly related to the politics of all of this, not necessarily the rocky rollout of healthcare.gov. But what about that point? It is becoming a talking point now that some people are losing their insurance carrier or not able to go to the doctor of their choice under this Affordable Care Act, Professor Loomis.
Right. I think there often overstatements are made. I certainly Obama's "You will not lose your doctor" statement as an absolute fact is an overstatement. But this notion of 47 to 70% losing their health insurance just is not sustainable as an observation at all. I mean, if you look around the country right now, for most people, their health insurance today and next year is going to be exactly the way it was previously. That really isn't in contest. At the margins, I think there are a lot of stories here of people losing their health insurance or it being tossed back into the pool of exchanges. And the complexity here is a big problem because you can go on and maybe find a policy, compare the policies, but then you have to keep going to see what kind of a subsidy you get. And that is where I think a lot of issues come up as well, that it's not just a matter of comparing policies, but for many people, there's an element of subsidy to help pay for these policies. And so, again, the complexity comes in. So I think that what I'm seeing as I look at Facebook, things of that nature, is stories, a lot of stories about people losing their health insurance. And I think that's true, at least on the surface. I don't think that we understand completely on the back end what will replace that. And that's where the technical glitches come in and the complexity comes in. But I don't think there's any situation in which you have such a large change for a segment of the population that there isn't going to be some slippage here. So I'm not really completely defending this program at all. I do think that there are overstatements, there are overpromises, but also I think it's what people want to hear. But in general, in 2010, you had a revolutionary change in healthcare, and very complex. And now we're seeing it work its way out. And I think we're going to have some patience in terms of judging its effects 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years out.
We are talking with Burdette Loomis, a professor of political science at the University of Kansas, about the politics over healthcare.gov, the very rocky rollout of the healthcare exchange online marketplace. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius will be testifying about the problems and what's being done about them before a congressional panel tomorrow, amid calls for her resignation. And we're welcoming your reactions to all of this and your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking for the rest of this hour with a professor of political science at the University of Kansas, Burdette Loomis, who also worked under then Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius. Burdette Loomis also happens to be a UW-Madison graduate, talking with us about the politics of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And Catherine in Oshkosh is with us. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, good morning. I don't think Kathleen Sebelius should be fired. I think this was a huge undertaking, as was Medicare, I'm sure, back in the day. And I just wonder, I mean, if we're calling for her to be fired, why is it that, the Congress is so untouchable and that we cannot fire the Republicans who allowed for the government to shut down?
Well, they're elected.
I think that she really brings up a good point and one that has actually helped the Democrats and the evaluation of this, no matter how badly it has gone. But if there hadn't been a government shutdown, if you had not had the last-minute battle over the debt ceilings taking up the first half of October, then all focus would have been on the rollout of Obamacare. And I think it would have been much more politically damaging to the Democrats. And I'm not saying that's the most important thing. But what's fascinating here, if we look at the early polling data, is that if anything, Obamacare has increased its popularity slightly over the first month of this rollout, which in objective terms has not been good at all. It really has been disastrous. So I'm not sure how to parse that, but one of the things is that I think that people are seeing that they have the opportunity to sign up for health care that they have never gotten before. They might have a pre-existing condition, say, and they couldn't get health care now. And so even with some of these obstacles, there is this desire for many people who are uninsured to have health care.
Well, our caller said, why can't we fire the Republicans in Congress?
We can, of course.
Right, during the election. How's this going to...
2014 is a year away. Probably not going to happen. It is, I think, the key point there. It's a political system, and we have... we've had elections, and Obama was elected in 2012 by a substantial majority, and Mitt Romney wanted to do away with the Affordable Health Care Act. There was a political decision rendered there, and now we'll go forward.
On a somewhat related note, Michael on Facebook says, not a single Republican in the House or Senate voted for Obamacare, yet I sense a rumble out there that somehow the GOP will be blamed for this Obamacare mess. So will that happen?
Well, I don't see it happening yet for sure. I mean, I think it's Republicans who are going to be on the attack tomorrow when Secretary Sebelius goes to Capitol Hill. And I think that if you heard Minority Leader Pelosi yesterday, she was really quite defensive as she, I heard her on NPR, defend the policies. Honestly, I don't think that Republicans are going to be blamed. And in fact, the biggest fear of many Republicans, and many have said this, is honestly that the Affordable Health Care Act will be a success. That people will enroll, they'll get health insurance, there'll be subsidies, and despite the complexity, it will actually work. And if that happens, then people will rely on this as part of the package of health insurance in their lives. And much like Medicare and Social Security, it will become a part of the fabric of people's lives. I think that is what, in the long run, worries Republicans more than anything else.
Art in Green Bay is with us now. Hello, Art.
Good morning. I don't think that Kathleen Sebelius should be fired because she had a dual role writing the bill, writing all the regulations for the bill, as well as coordinating the launch and the rollout of it. So it's a big job, but... And that brings me to the point your guest made earlier, is one of the problems was the policy rollout didn't happen as soon as it should have. And one of the reasons why Republicans objected to the bill in the first place is because in hundreds of places throughout the bill, it says the secretary shall determine. And basically what that's saying is that the bill was not written yet. It was just passed as a shell of a bill. And if you recall, when you said when Congress passed the bill, it was actually all the Democrats in Congress without a single Republican vote that passed the bill on Christmas Eve of 2010 before anybody could really read the entire thing, which is probably still not even written yet. So you've got the issue there of why all this policy is still going on, and the bill still isn't completed, I'm sure.
Professor Loomis?
Yeah, I mean, I think the politics of this have continued unabated from the moment it was passed. And there are hundreds of places where it says the secretary shall. In reality, that doesn't mean that Kathleen Sebelius is making these decisions. Many of them are being made in the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, by implementation professionals, healthcare professionals. Others are being made in the White House. And I think that that's one of the analyze parts of this bill is that the White House continues to have a hand in the implementation of this. It retains a substantial core of healthcare professionals who are working with the governor. So, again, the very size of it, as your caller suggests, is significant. I'd say they're coming to the end of making the decisions on all those shalls, shall do this, shall do that. But that doesn't mean they will come to the end of the implementation process. And in a sense, this has still several years to go of implementation, tweaking, and changing, and certainly probably some congressional rewrites. There are parts of this bill that almost certainly should be changed. And so I honestly think that this is going to be a work in progress for several years.
Yeah. So you think President Obama has Secretary Sebelius's back? He's not going to fire her?
I don't think so. There's a whole variety of reasons. First of all, I'm not sure who he'd get to replace her. Second of all, I think they are closely aligned in policy terms, very closely aligned. I think they're in many ways very similar people who are often quite private, serious about policy. And third, over the years, they have developed a very strong personal relationship. I think President Obama genuinely likes Kathleen Sebelius. I think she's worked hard for him over the 4 years of her service. And so that doesn't mean that they couldn't reach some kind of agreement on the parting of ways. But I think he sees her as a pretty substantial soldier here in this effort, and so far is backing her up thoroughly.
So what should she say? What can she say or do that would take the heat off of her tomorrow?
I'm not sure there's anything she can do to reassure the Daryl Issas of the world, and Daryl Issa, relatively speaking, can be a voice of reason compared to some of the younger, more Tea Party representatives in the House. I think she's going to have to take responsibility in a very general but profound way that it was on her watch. This didn't work. And then to reassure them as best she can that this is going forward and it will be fixed. If she has some examples a month out right now, some good examples of where there have been significant fixes, and if she has more stories like Sarah earlier on who did enroll, I think it's going to be significant. So first of all, taking responsibility, and secondly, demonstrating that there has been progress made, and that she and a team will continue to monitor this. Nothing is more important, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you so much for being with us. Burdette Loomis, professor of political science at the University of Kansas. Thanks to Bill Martins, Christy Taylor, and Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. This is the Ideas Network.